So it's time for sport now and to find out what's happening in the football world. So I'm going to go over to Cliff and John, who are going to bring you that now.
Hi folks, it's John here with your sports roundup. And I hope I find you all fit and well and looking forward to Christmas. And I do apologise for the lack of coverage due to the run-up to Christmas. And firstly, we start with Stoke City, who played Luton Town away, losing 2-1. Stoke's next game was at home to Cardiff City. Stoke went ahead with a goal from A. Moran in the 17th minute, but Cardiff hit back in the 32nd minute, making it one apiece. But Stoke Ben Gibson again struck again in the 72nd minute, scoring in his own goal, giving Cardiff a 2-1 lead. But Gibson rectified this mistake by scoring in the 95th minute to end the game 2-2. This game, in my opinion, was like watching paint dry. Stoke showed no commitment to go forward, seemed very content to pass the ball, as all continental players seem to be doing just lately, and having it taken off them at most of the time. Stoke's performance was very poor, even with the fans trying to spur them on. Stoke now need to win, as they have not won in, I believe, six games. It could be more than that, with rumours from the fans to get rid of Johnny Walters, saying he hasn't got a clue, and Stoke's next game is away to Sheffield Wednesday. This leaves Stoke 17th in the league with 22 points.
Thanks, John, and welcome back, mate. I hope, like everyone, like yourself, I hope everybody has a nice Christmas and a break and a rest during the festive season. And I'm just going to focus on stuff other than football this week, which with John's help, he's taking care of all that for us. So in cricket terms, first one I wanted to report back is the women's cricket team, the England women's cricket team in South Africa. And they managed to dismiss South Africa for 64 runs in a historic victory just this week. They registered their first test win in a decade and claimed their biggest red ball victory by the margin of runs, as they beat South Africa by 286 runs in Bloemfontein. England, whose previous test win came against Australia in 2014, bundled out South Africa for a mere 64, which is their lowest ever test total, in their second innings after setting up a 351 target. Lauren Bell took 4 for 27 as the host capitulated on the third day in pursuit of an unlikely world record target of 351. England captain Heather Knight set up the chance of victory with 90 in the Tories' second innings of 236. The Proteas fought back earlier in the day, with Malaba finishing with 6 for 67 to become the first South African woman to take 10 wickets in a women's test. Yet England's total was too much, as South Africa produced a dismal response in the second innings and slumped to defeat. And of course, including in that England team is our young lady, Danny Wyatt. Well, she's now called Danny Wyatt hyphen Hodge. I think she's married her partner and got a double barrel name now. But she's been batting for the England team all across the series that they've had, with one day tests and T20s, and she's done very well in the white ball matches, but not quite so well in the red ball. And then just briefly to touch on the England men's team. So this is Chris Stocks in the I newspaper, said it's easy to jump to knee-jerk reactions when England slumped to defeats as comprehensive as this 423-run defeat at the hands of New Zealand. Complete contrast, obviously, to the women's team. So if we're going to put them against each other, it's 1-0 for the women at the moment. But Chris carries on. He says, dead rubbers are always hard to gauge. It was a criticism of the great Australian teams of the 1990s and early 2000s that they often underperformed in the final test when they'd already wrapped up a series. But England are nowhere near that calibre. The inconsistency of the cricket they play now is summed up by the fact that in 17 tests this year, they've won 9 and lost 8. Although no team has played more in a single year except India in 1983, that workload was surely a factor in this surrender in Hamilton, when after being routed for 143 in their first innings, they were rolled over for 234 in just 35 minutes after lunch on the fourth day. And in terms of runs, this was England's second heaviest defeat away from home in history. And it's a worry that the first, by 434 runs, came against India in February. And the problem is, the style that they play, when it goes wrong, it can be ugly.
Right, folks, we now come to Port Vale, who beat Doncaster 1-0 in the Football League Trophy. Vale's next game was away to Bromley, making a draw 0-0. Vale, and according to some of the Vale fans as I've been speaking to, were robbed in this game as they scored, but the officials ruled that the ball had not crossed the goal line. But when I looked at the replay, it had clearly gone in. This put Vale in second place with 36 points, 4 points behind Walsall, but Walsall have a game in hand.
Thanks, John. And just a quickie on tennis here. Sharapova case first puts the spotlight on meldonium. And what is meldonium, says James Gray? Meldonium is a medicine prescribed for conditions such as angina, but it's not approved for use in the UK or the US. But it is manufactured in Latvia and licensed in a number of Eastern European and Baltic countries. It's considered potentially performance enhancing because it can decrease the onset of some aspects of fatigue and increase the rate of recovery. Well, this was first banned in 2016, but the monitoring programme found that the high prevalence of the use of meldonium by athletes and teams of athletes, and then the president said that it was a big concern because it's clear that people are abusing the drug. It hit the headlines in March 2016 when Maria Sharapova, a five-time major winner in tennis, had tested positive for meldonium in just a few weeks after it had been added to the banned list. The Russian player insisted she was innocent of deliberately breaking the rules and said she took a drug called something else for the previous 10 years after having it prescribed. However, so her explanation was accepted on appeal by the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which reduced her ban to 15 months and said she could not be considered an intentional doper. But she was one of nearly 200 athletes, predominantly from Russia and Eastern European countries, who tested positive for meldonium in the months following it being initially banned. And at the 2018 Winter Olympics, Alexander Krushelnitsy was stripped of his curling bronze medal after testing positive. So it's one to, for the scientists and the medicals to watch out for in all sport.
Right, we now come to Crewe, who lost to Wrexham in the Football League Trophy by 1-0. Their next game was away to Grimsby, winning 2-0, with goals from Jay Lancaster in the 55th minute and Jay Tabiner in the 63rd minute. Their next game is at home to Colchester. This puts Crewe back in the top three, which is good in my opinion, because I'd like to see Crewe get promoted. But they're still 3 points. They're still in third place with 34 points, 2 points behind Port Vale.
Thanks, John. And yeah, the a dart story now. I don't know if we have many darts fans who are listening in, but this is a rights issue as well as a sport issue, really. There's a transgender darts player, Noah Lynn Van Leeuwen, has criticised the state of trans rights in sport and across the UK after making her PDC World Championships debut. She was beaten 3-1 in her first round match by fellow Dutch player Kevin Duits, despite winning the first leg and hitting 6 180s and getting 6 perfect darts into a potential 9-darter. She's the first non-trans player to feature at the Alexander Palace showpiece, and there were heightened security checks before her walk-on but the 3,500 strong crowd's reception before and after was overwhelmingly positive. Post-match, however, she spoke about the added attention she feels at every event given the abuse, victimisation and banning of trans athletes across many sports. "I feel pressure at any time," she said. "And if we look at trans people in sports in general, they're the victims. Why can't we just play anything we want to? I don't get it." So it's a perennial call, I'm afraid, isn't it, for a lot of people, for the transgender world, trying to get not getting preferential treatment, but just being accepted for what they are. And having said that, I'm sure that you'll all join me, although dancing is not a sport at all, but I'm sure you'll all be celebrating Chris McCausland's win on the dance show on the television last weekend. And it's a magnificent performance, and it really does show what ability many, many people have. Although they may have disabilities, they're also able to keep pace with everybody else and to make a massive contribution to the world of entertainment and to the world of encouraging other people. So that's it from me.
Just before we go.
Yes, sorry, John.
Coming back onto the darts, I was listening this morning to radio show that that Littler, the dart player,
yeah,
came runner-up in the Sportsman Awards, which are held this week.
Oh, yeah, the BBC Sportsperson of the Year, I think.
Yeah, he came second.
Yeah, that's the lad. He's only 16, isn't
16
he,
John? Years,
he's
yes.
got world titles on. 17. Oh, well, he might be now, yeah. I think it's just me who gets old, Tim, nobody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's great. And I think the lady who won it was an 800-metre athlete, I think.
Yes.
I can't just recall the name at the moment, as I didn't watch it last night. But so again, I say from that point of view, just again say thanks very much to everybody here at Update for helping us get the sports out to you. And again, if there's anything you want to hear about particularly that you can't find anywhere else, or you want to keep track on local sports people and athletes, then please just let us know and we'll do our best to bring that for you.
And just from me, I would like to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Take care, keep safe, stay warm until the next time.
That says it all, John. Thank you very much indeed, everybody, for taking time to listen.